So, I think these pills I'm taking are affecting my short-term memory.
How so?
I think these pills I'm taking are affecting my short-term memory.
God, that was cheesy.
February 5th, 2010. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother Edge Guy.
Hey, we're not using those anymore.
What are you talking about? Yeah, I know. You're AJ, you were Edge Guy long before the Squadron of Shame even. Shut up.
Yeah.
We're not using those. Also, beige is always beige. I don't even care. But yeah, here's Mark Whiting, just in case.
Hello.
Say hi. You're
Hello, yeah, Internet.
No, you're beige. But, you know, Jeff Parsons can just be Jeff Parsons.
Minus umlaut. Hello, everybody.
We got an all-star guest. We got four guests this week to make up for the maybe a one too many shows of just me and AJ. So here we go. Here's what we're doing today. We're going to start off with the news, then we'll go into the Great American Edge Guy Gaming Quiz, and we're going to do a little role-playing. You know, get ourselves in the mood.
That sounded creepy.
Yeah, it's supposed
it to. Is.
Then we'll go on to our weekend gaming, talk about the releases, and that'll be the show. So, I know we got some news happening this
weekend. You just did a little dance, didn't you?
No, it was more of a little percussion thing.
It's okay. Like a Letterman or John Stewart envelope tap, notes
yeah,
tap thing.
Exactly.
Anchorman, you know?
Right.
Let's do this.
Okay, first news item of the week. Sonic the Hedgehog 4, Episode 1 is announced.
You could put a cricket sound in there.
I was going to say, wow, I expected something.
Red Swirl is very, very, very excited somewhere.
You know,
so the breakdown of what we have, it is an all-new 2D Sonic game rendered with 3D graphics, coming downloadable to Xbox Live Arcade, PlayStation Network, WiiWare, and the iPhone.
All right.
Okay, Genesis boys, explain why this is super exciting.
Here's what I want to say.
Because I was SNES for life, and I don't get it.
This seems like it can't miss, right?
You
right?
Think?
You would think.
There we go.
But
this cycle
thing.
Begins
every
anew.
Time. Like, every time, though, they do this. They do this Sonic relaunch. There's always that one thing that you're like, well, what the hell is this? What is this episode one stuff?
Oh, that's not the worst thing ever.
That's not the worst thing ever, but what is it? I don't get
it
that.
It just means they're going to release it like part of the game in the summer for $10 rather than like a $50 retail disc.
How would a complete 2D Sonic game not be worth $10 anyways? Mega Man 9 was $10, Mega Man 10 will be $10.
Maybe this is a complete Sonic. Maybe we're going to get 8 acts and then we'll get another episode with 8 more acts. Here, listen.
It'll continue the thrilling story and, you know, next-generation presentation.
Here's at least my one glimmer of hope trying to be positive about this. There's pressure for them to make this good because if episode one is shitty, no one's going to buy episode two, and they want you to buy episode two.
Oh, come on. You remember seeing episode two? Wasn't that great?
What?
That was the beginning of the episodic experiment.
Hi.
You know... Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me for 16 years, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you can't be fooled again. They've had to do a lot to get me pretty excited. That's all I'm saying. I'm a non-Sonic faithful, so they're not preaching to the choir here.
I think it would have been a lot cooler if it was straight up 2D, like hand-drawn HD graphics, because that's what it kind of looked like it was
going
to be.
Yeah, I could go for like a Super Street Fighter HD remix of a platformer
well,
like that.
It looks good, and the little bit of gameplay you saw, I mean, that level may as well be Green Hill Zone.
Yeah.
No, I feel pretty good about this.
I remain cautiously optimistic.
Episode one nonsense aside, I don't know what that means, and I know there's going to be a homing attack in it. I don't understand what place that really has.
Yeah, this is the thing.
Sonic game.
They need to emulate like Sonic 2, Sonic Knuckles, not Sonic Rush. Because, like, everyone's criticism of Sonic is, oh, what's the big deal? You just hold down the right button. In the Game Boy and the DS games, yes, you do. But if you go back and play one of the old Genesis ones, they're pretty good platforms.
Yeah, they have to actually have
so
platforming.
Often, you just hit a straightaway every so often,
yeah,
you know?
I played through them recently on Xbox Live Arcade, and they held up pretty well. I mean, it's still old school. Like, when was the last time that you ran out of continues and couldn't finish your game?
Well, yeah.
You know, got kicked back to the main screen. But, you know, I'm interested.
Right. And
rough, you know, mildly. Right.
There'll be a demo. That's a good thing.
Yeah, so, exactly.
I mean, we can't get robbed, at least.
I mean, it can't be that hard. All they have to do, basically, is... I mean, it seems like they're going out of their way to say, look, this is going to be like an old Sonic game. And that's pretty much what we want. So,
they're just going to wait till the after the demo to stick in the Werehog. Once they've got your money, they'll be like, ah, oh, fuck you again.
I do like this
trend,
though.
Sucker born every minute.
I like it. Like, hey, why not call the game Sonic the Hedgehog 4?
Sure.
Let beat around the bush. Do you think this owes more to Mega Man 9 or to New Super Mario Brothers?
Probably both.
Yeah, there's big market in nostalgia right now. Capcom's making it like bandits on a lot of this stuff.
Yep.
Square Enix has been doing it for years, so sure, why not?
All right, let's move on then.
Okay, so we have the Civilization Network beta will begin in June. Bosses of the world, prepare to block Facebook from your network.
If they haven't done it by now.
Yeah, I'm incredibly excited for this, by the way. I think it's going to be sweet. Moving on.
I never heard of that. What is this? There's Facebook Civilization coming?
Yeah, it's like multiplayer Civilization.
So it's browser.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Sounds like a good idea. It'll be more. Is it going to be more like Civ Rev or like Civ 4?
I would imagine closer to a Civ Rev sort of thing.
If you compete, can compete against your friend's civilizations, that'll be pretty hot.
Yeah, it'll be neat.
It'll be an epic Squadron of Shame match to take over the world.
Yay.
I'm paying attention. That's the best I can say about it.
We also have announcements of a web and iPhone app coming to access the World of Warcraft auction house from anywhere.
Okay, who's you guys play WoW? What's the auction house?
I play WoW.
If you find an item you don't need or materials that you are farming, you can put them in the auction house. It's like eBay, where you can bid on auction on stuff or buy it now, and it's just, you know, that's all.
So some guy in a car is going to crash into me because he's on his iPhone buying... Wolf
like
pelts?
Wolf. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I don't have any burning desire to have to access the auction house outside of the game, but, you know, here it
Chinese
is.
Chinese gold farmers do.
Well, sure,
great
I guess.
For them. So then we have some Dante's Inferno news, oddly enough. First of all, CBS rejected their Super Bowl ad for having the tagline, "Go to Hell," at the end of it.
See, that sounds like the one good thing about the commercial, probably.
Well, it's a pure CG commercial. So
well, sure. They all games are. I mean, all trailers are. What trailer hasn't been? Mass Effect 2 certainly didn't show any gameplay.
Huh? I didn't watch that trailer.
No, I didn't.
You haven't seen all of those trailers? It's all the characters.
I did an impressively good job of remaining completely in the dark about Mass Effect 2.
Yeah,
I'm very proud of myself because that was not easy.
I don't think I've seen a video game commercial in about 10 years. So
really,
it's news to me. Yeah.
I guess I don't know. They pop up on ESPN still, and all the wrestling I watch. That's like the demographic. It's always video game commercials.
Yeah. You are the target market.
The NFL championship games last week were essentially brought to you by Mass Effect 2.
Right.
Oh,
yeah, you were watching those, AJ.
Spot. Yeah. Well, no, remember I like ducked and hid myself.
Yeah, that's right. You weren't even watching those games.
Well, because I didn't want any spoilers.
You're a bigger nerd than I am.
I know I am. That's okay.
And I'm the one stuck with this voice.
Like, you host a podcast on the internet. Let's not argue over who's nerdier.
Whatever. It was your idea. Go ahead. Whatever. What's next?
We also have a Dante's Inferno DLC announcement that's actually pretty interesting. The news first leaked, and then they announced it formally, that there's going to be the Trials of Saint Lucia, which will add online co-op and the level editor to the game, which I think if that was in the game from the first place, people would be paying a lot more attention to it.
Can I make levels that aren't exactly like God of War?
I don't know to what extent this will work. They didn't really say. It's going to have like a whole system built in where you could rank levels, rank users. There's a whole metagame of trying to climb the leaderboard.
No, thank you.
Okay.
My entire estimation of Dante's Inferno rests entirely on whether in the ninth level of hell the final boss fight takes place in Satan's asshole. If so, then, you know, they get points for historical accuracy. If not, no deal.
Fighting Brutus?
Yeah. As long as you can beat up Socrates in level 1, that'll be pretty cool, too. All those innocent pagans.
Socrates.
Oh, good lord. Moving on. The new Zelda for Wii has been announced as a Wii Motion Plus exclusive.
They'll sell a lot of hardware.
Man. I wonder if they'll just pack it in.
So what,
they packed it in long time ago.
Hi-o.
Are we predicting one-on-one sword fighting?
Maybe.
That'll suck.
I'm predicting I'll have long since sold my Wii before this game ever comes out.
Hey, I've proclaimed my love of the sword fighting game in Wii Sports Resort, so who knows? I'll like this.
Hey, big Zelda games. Those have been pretty good. So, you know, I'm sure this will be fun.
Yeah.
If maybe not quite as enthralling as it once was.
Right.
I want to believe.
I think they recognize that they had to do something to change the formula. I just have a feeling they're going to not change the right things.
Right. They're afraid.
No, they're not afraid. They'll just be misguided.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Like, they will, like, change the sword fighting mechanic, but not, like, the whole monotony of going into a dungeon, finding the one item, and then using that item to beat the boss. Rinse, wash, repeat.
How about giving Link, you know, a voice?
Make him button.
You know, making him not a tiny little thing that goes, eh, all the time. That's really where I think they need to make some changes.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me so much. That's part of the charm.
Yeah, I think it's just that formula's getting stale. Go to this dungeon. Oh, look, you found a random item.
Right.
A giant boss.
Problem.
What do I do? Use that item. You found that dungeon. Hey, I'm out of that dungeon. Never use that item again.
Right. And that's been a problem with more recent Zelda games because they work so hard to come up with these really crazy items just to do something new. Like in Twilight Princess, you had the Dreidel of Death that you rode on.
Yeah,
and it was interesting for that one dungeon that, you know, used it. But after that, it was like, well, how the hell else can you explain why the hell you need this thing?
I don't know. I think Darksiders showed that style of game isn't broken, but I just it loses me with the, you know, with the kid with the felt hat. I'm done.
I haven't even played Darksiders. Apparently, the game's not selling well.
I would probably
blame the advertising, which once again doesn't even explain what the game is. Everyone assumes it's just a generic action game. I don't know what to say. Whatever. Okay, what's next?
So Team Fortress 2 is getting a new game mode called Highlander Mode.
Got a new game mode, didn't it?
Oh, is it out now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. It's 9-on-9, where everybody is only one of each class, which I've been wondering if they would do for years now, so I'm super excited about this.
Sounds neat.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
I think so.
Apparently, this has been a sort of a fan-like mode for a while now. Now it's kind of official.
That's cool. Let's see, we also had a teaser trailer for Fallout New Vegas, along with a fall release date revealed.
Finally hearing something about this game. Is this pretty much just going to be... I'm assuming that this is going to pretty much kind of be like a Fallout 3.5.
They try to make it sound like it's not.
Like,
it's
a pretty quick turnaround.
I don't know, kind of hushy about it. Well, Obsidian's making it, not Bethesda.
Yeah, it's the Black Isle.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what Obsidian does, though. They kind of take old resources from the last game, sort of make a new game, quote, but, you know, pretty soon.
I don't care.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, I'm just saying. That's
I've been burned by Obsidian a couple of times. I don't know.
I wonder if that Alpha Protocol is going to be good when it finally comes out. I feel like it's going to hurt them that didn't come out before Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
But anyway, Game Informer is going to be revealing L.A. Noire in their upcoming issue, and part of what we've learned so far is no longer a PS3 exclusive, shock and awe.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that sucks.
Well, you know, when a game is announced and goes dark for 2 years, you could imagine they were losing some money and they need to make it back.
It wasn't announced that. It was announced last E3. It wasn't that long ago.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I mean, still, it's a year and a half.
I want to believe.
A year and a half? That's less than a year.
No, it wasn't announced at last E3. It was announced at
E3
before
that.
Sure it
was. No.
I think AJ is right. I think last year they sort of just reminded you it existed.
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true.
You're
going to
make me look this up.
It's been around for at least 2 years, because I was waiting for a big reveal at last year's E3, and it didn't happen.
Right.
Or, you know, some information. Like, they threw us an Alan Wake-flavored bone, but they didn't give us a L.A. Noire-flavored bone. I hope they get it right.
It was apparently announced in February 2004.
There you go.
Am I thinking of a different game? I don't know. Whatever. I guess not. I guess I'm wrong.
Ha.
This is still... It's basically going to be Grand Theft Auto 40s, right?
Yeah.
So I still won't care, right?
Right.
Oh. It could be cool.
I guess it could, you know, if it's Grand Theft Auto with actual style, I guess I can get into that.
Grand Theft Auto plus Black Dahlia kind of deal. That could be neat.
I just hope that these people have actually watched some noir and they know
that's what's going to bother
you
too.
You know, the number of times somebody pulls a gun in a noir is not high.
Right.
It'll happen, but at the climax or whatever. You don't get the shoot an RPG at the cop cars in L.A. Noir. I think that game was called Mafia, and it was pretty cool on the PC, but it isn't noir.
Right. How many noir Heavy games Rain, have we really had? Maybe Grim Fandango?
Hotel Dusk.
Hotel Dusk. Max Payne had too much shooting to really be noir. It wanted to be.
Noir
it was kind of there.
Yeah. There was a Black Dahlia video game.
Any game where you rack up 100 bodies isn't noir. That's
right.
All I'm saying.
That's a very good way of putting it.
More Philip Marlowe, less Tex Murphy.
Yeah. So Microsoft has mysteriously announced that Xbox 120GB hard drives are discounted while supplies last from 149 to 129. When then asked if they're being discontinued, we got a no comment. Which, since they announced in Japan, looks like the 250GB hard drive is going to become the new upgrade choice.
I'm still rolling with my 20, and it's very restrictive. So, you know,
well,
I'm ready for something. I can't even put both discs of Mass Effect on my hard drive.
Isn't that funny? We started with 20. That's plenty big.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm sure people are waiting for that $20 price drop from the 150 hard drive to go out and get one. Yeah.
That's still $1 a gig. That's crazy expensive.
I know. I've got a 500 megabyte save file. That's like a 40th of my
drive. What game is that?
Fallout. I had to clear space on my drive last night, or a couple of nights ago, just to put Mass Effect on. Like, I felt like I was back in 1994, you know, uninstalling.
Nice. And our final news item, Microsoft shocked the world late last night by announcing that Xbox Live support for the original Xbox is going to be discontinued on April 15th, allowing all the journalists who've complained about it to have more than 100 friends on their friend list. I am convinced that is not an issue at all for 99% of Xbox users, but because gaming journalists get a lot of friend requests and they report this stuff, it became one.
Yeah, they seem to be the only people who care.
Halo 2 is going to be the big deal, right?
Like, yeah, is anyone else going down.
Anyone playing anything else on the original Xbox right now?
No, but I really want to play some Crimson Skies before it goes away now.
All right.
Okay. That was probably the longest awkward silence on the show's history.
Oh, we've done better than that. Anyway, that's the news.
I like Crimson Skies. Crickets.
Crimson Skies was cool. The PC version, the original PC version was better than High Road to Revenge, but
true.
It's a good franchise.
Did those guys make some sort of awesome new game? Oh, wait, I thought, that's right, everyone hated it.
The flying parts are good. The combat is shitty.
It's Dark Void, by the way. Yes. You were so excited for Dark Void.
Excited for it. I know, I didn't buy it.
It just launched at the wrong time. It's a moderately attractive girl in stable supermodels.
I think I said this on the show last week, but I'll say it again real quick. It's a very fast-paced, high-flying, highfalutin air combat game where you're zapping up ships and all this stuff, and it's cool. And then you land on the game, it becomes a very slow, cover-based third-person shooter where the enemies take an entire clip to down. That kills the pace of the game and makes it awful.
I think I've had enough of Nolan for a while. I don't want to dilute my Drake, so I'm going to stay away.
Yeah, I'm sick of all these other games sort of ruining Nolan North.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm late to the party on this, but I've been playing Shadow Complex. That's just Nathan Drake.
Yeah,
they just call
Nathan
him something
Drake
else.
Cobra.
They could have said that's the prequel to Uncharted. You would have believed it.
Oh, my God.
He even has the half tuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just shameless.
All right, Mike, are we good to move on? Because that is the news.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right.
You know, that's all we got. All right. Great American Average Guy Gaming Quiz. Got Sonic questions.
Yeah.
Why not? All right. Here's the first question. What was the name of the playable robot from Sonic Adventure?
Oh, E-102.
E-102. What? Also known as... I want to see if you get this part.
He had another name?
His brothers were Alpha and Beta.
Oh, so Epsilon?
He was Gamma. He wasn't Epsilon.
Then why is he E-102?
They're all E-something-something. Something.
Oh, whatever. E-102 is his
fine,
name.
Fine. E-102, fine. Number two. What is the name of Big the Cat's pet?
Froggy.
Froggy, I'm coming for you.
Right.
That song was sweet, though.
All right. Next one. Marty. Mighty the Armadillo first appeared in what Sonic game?
Knuckles Chaotix. No. Retract Sonic Arcade.
That's not the name of the game.
Oh, motherfucker. Don't want the trackball.
What's it called?
Sonic the Hedgehog Arcade? I don't know.
It's called Sega Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, good friggin' lord.
I finally saw a video of that game. I wanted to play that game as long as I first found out it existed via Sonic Jam. The game looks as amazing as I always thought it would.
I did play it. I got it to sort of work on an emulator once. Not well, but enough that I played it. It actually wasn't bad.
They had to throw that on one of the millions of Sonic compilations they make.
Seriously.
I played that. All right. Question 4. Name the three other characters that join Knuckles and Knuckles Chaotix. So besides Mighty and Knuckles.
SPO. You got Vector. You got Charmy.
Yep.
Jeff, are you as lost as I am in this discussion? I'm listening to Champion Ching Ching the Armadillo and, you know, Flippy the Big Cat with a frog familiar.
See, this is why we want Sonic the Hedgehog to be good again, because we know this shit.
It sounds like you guys are talking about a cross between like some Star Fox and a freaking YIF convention.
I'm just going back to when they were discussing who was the bigger nerd, and I'm thinking, draw. It's a draw.
Let's see if you can get 4 out of 5. Come on.
All right. No,
bring
5,
your Sonic knowledge.
This
the big
is,
kids,
I don't
the
think
big kids are
going to
beat you
one.
Up here. All oh, right. Man.
What is Dr. Robotnik's first name?
Ivo.
Oh, man.
Not even hesitation.
Never mind.
That's going to be key. If in Sonic the Hedgehog 4, they need to call him Dr. Robotnik and drop this friggin' Eggman crap. Oh, that pisses me off.
All right. Yeah. Bonus question.
Yeah. Right on.
Knack the...
Come on. I want to hear you say this.
Okay. Knack the Weasel had a different name in Japan. What was it?
Oh.
Did you just say Smack the Weasel?
No.
Knack the Weasel.
Wait, it has something to do with sniping, doesn't it?
You tell me. This one, I thought you would get this one.
Oh, shit. I don't know. Is it like rifle or sniper or something? I don't know.
It's Fang the Sniper.
Damn, I knew sniping had something to do with it.
Well, you got 5 points, though. You still won.
Yay.
I use the term win lightly, though.
Your Sonic knowledge is strong.
This
You're
is
one of those
like
people that brought
so
Sonic and Knuckles at the Olympic Games.
Now, okay, imagine liking it so much to the extent that extent in the 90s that you knew all that shit.
No.
And then imagine all the Sonic games that came out in the last decade. And imagine my mania, okay?
Now, reassure me, you guys were like 10 in the 90s, right?
I was born in 1984.
86.
Okay, so that's okay. That's okay. That's like me being able to name all the Transformers or the dudes from G-Force.
Right.
It's not so bad. But, just don't use it as your avatar on the on a website these days. You'll be fine.
All right. It's time for a little role play.
Okay.
All right. Woo. So I got some rules here. Maybe... We'll figure out. I'm going to at least give the first one to AJ. Maybe we'll branch out, see if anyone else wants to do a little role-playing. AJ, you got some roles ready too, right?
Yeah, I got a bunch.
All right, here's your first role, AJ.
Okay.
You are Luke Plunkett of Kotaku.
Oh, God.
You recently wrote an editorial claiming that there are no good Star Trek games because Star Trek itself is cheap and boring. Explain yourself.
Well, it is cheap and boring. Look, I'm just trying to save everybody some trouble. Star Trek's shitty, so... Obviously, anything related to Star Trek must be shitty. And, you know, there's no good Star Trek games. Star Trek Online is boring. You basically do the same ship combat over and over. The ground stuff is right out of EverQuest. You know, just save your time. It's cheap. It's cheesy. Don't bother.
Is your big criticism of an MMORPG that it's repetitive?
Yeah. I mean, my God, it's 2010. Let's see something new.
It is. I never seen a game with such a emphasis on ship combat like that, but certainly more popular than, certainly more mainstream than something like Eve or whatever, or Home, or Earth, whatever, that ever came before that.
Yeah, and you know what, that MMO got shut down, so what does that tell you is going to happen?
I think Star Trek, shut up, Star Trek's awesome.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, you're not Luke anymore. What? That, I hated that editorial made me mad.
Oh, that was very upsetting. When you start off a criticism of a game and gaming franchise with, I don't like Star Trek, yeah. Well, no friggin' duh you don't right. like Star Trek Online.
What was the 1UP Get review where they hired some guy who didn't like Dungeons & Dragons?
Neverwinter Nights,
oh.
too.
Oh, yeah. That was a huge to-do, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, use your thinker. Use your thinker there. Right. I mean, like...
I was just mad because the guy said that Star Trek lacked, like, dirt or grime, as opposed to, you know, he had me for a little bit, like, Blade Runner, but they said, like, Star Wars. Like, oh, yeah, Star Wars is like a dirty world.
Aliens is the trope I think he was looking for there.
Right. I don't know. The whole thing seemed... You don't mess with Star Trek. I'll take other people's opinions as subjective. Star Trek is good, and if you don't think so, you're wrong. I will fight you. It's too important for me. All right, do you have a roll?
Hey, Mike, are you ready for yours?
Yeah, sure.
You are Hideo Kojima.
I recently, am, actually. So this isn't a stretch.
Recently, Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker was announced as being delayed, and you said... I always preach to the staff, you must not have delay after a release date has been announced. There's no greater crime as a developer. Official announcement of a release date is nothing less than a promise to fans and business partners. In other words, a release date change is like betraying the expectations of everyone. It probably takes a long time to earn back that trust that has been lost. However, we will work hard with the hope that we will one day earn the support of everyone again. At present, Kojima Productions is putting our full effort on final tuning and brush-ups in aim of completion. First of all, why do you talk so much in everything that you do, and is it really that big a deal in 2010 to delay a game a couple months?
It's still important to me. I think a release date is something sacred. I think that when you promise your fans something, you have to deliver, and if you don't, you have to own up, and that's what I did. I don't see the
You're
big
the guy
deal
who
it.
Did the 2008-2007 trailer.
And I felt terrible about that. I wasn't happy about that. I told myself never again, and here we are again. I'm not going to duck the issue. It's delayed. I apologize profusely.
You really think, like, you have to earn back trust?
I do. Because that's... What's worse than breaking a promise? That's what a release date is. I promise something. Not going to happen. I was just trying to be honest about it. I don't see the issue.
I just think you're overreacting, that's all.
No, that's fine. You know, it'd be better than if I didn't care at all or laughed the matter off.
Like GT5?
Sure. You know, at least I acknowledge it.
You're a good person, Hideo Kojima.
Go sit in a box for the year's penance.
Right. On the record, I'm totally overreacting. God.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's if anybody in the gaming industry is going to go down on their knees and, you know, beg for forgiveness for their sins, it's got to be Hideo.
Right.
I mean, that's a cutscene. That's a Metal Gear cutscene in and of itself.
Okay. Mike, you're up.
All right, AJ. Here you are. You are Peter Molyneux.
Oh, shit, you took one of mine.
Rumor has it that you'll be unveiling Fable 3 later this month. Should we care?
Of course you should care. Look, I'm going to be speaking at GDC, giving a speech on intuitive game design. And as I've proven time and time again, I make intuitive games. And this one's going to be even more intuitive. Remember that bar fight? Remember that bar fight I showed that was going to be in Fable 2 but wasn't?
That's a great tech. You have great tech demos.
Your tech demos are amazing.
Your game's not quite so much.
Wait till you see the tech demo I'm going to have at GDC. You're not even going to believe it's possible.
I won't. You're right. I won't believe it's possible.
And you know what? I mean, you know, games, they're a moving target. You know, some of these things may not make it into the final product, sure, but we're going to try our best. And, you know, if it doesn't get in now, then maybe next time.
This is a pretty quick turnaround for Fable 3. Considering the time that took to get Fable 2 out there. Are you phoning this one in?
We've streamlined our process. You know, we've learned a lot. And you know, we're ready to go. You know, Fable 2 was hugely successful. People loved it. So, you know, Fable 3 is going to blow your mind. I don't mean to, like, you know, inflate your expectations or anything. But
sure.
It's going to be the best game ever made.
Okay.
All the AI work that your studio undertook when you were developing Milo is finally paying off.
Fuck Milo.
Oh, don't even get me on Milo. Don't even talk about Milo.
Hey,
Milo's a playable
feelings,
character
okay.
in Fable 3. You heard it here first.
If I can kill Milo in Fable 3, it'll be the best game ever.
That'd be great if you... Maybe I don't want to kill Milo. I just want to be, like, abusive towards him.
It's like The Sims. Or that
Milo.
Those old dogs, dogs and cats for the PC. That you used to have a virtual Milo on your desktop that you just sort of tortured. Kept him in a closet.
Actually kind of gross.
Hey, Milo, I found out your parents are getting a divorce because they don't love you. That's the kind of shit I want to do in the Milo game.
Good lord. Alright, I've got one for you, Mike. Ready?
Alright.
Okay, you are the Insidia Guild from World of Warcraft. Your guild was very proud to be the first 25-man raid to take down the Lich King. However, Blizzard decided you were exploiting Serenite bombs to make one phase of the combat easier, thus revoking all your achievements and loot from the kill. Do you think that's fair?
No, it's not fair. How... If we are able to do it, how is what makes that an exploit exactly? It's in the code. We're able to do it. We beat the Lich King. He's dead. You're welcome for that, by the way, Warcraft. Totally unfair. You know what? It doesn't matter though. In 2 weeks, our gear will get better. We'll go back into Ice Crown Citadel. We'll beat him the right way. Whatever they want to take.
Oh, but you see, your competing guild in Europe then got the official first kill, and they're waving that everywhere. How's that make you feel?
Well, sure. Because Blizzard endorses them? Whatever. Look, the real Warcraft fans, they know we got the first kill on this. That's all that's important. Doesn't matter what Blizzard says.
Okay. I don't know where else that one could go.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's ridiculous. It is true, though. What they did, apparently, is these Serenite bombs, I guess, could... The Frozen Throne itself figures into the fight, I guess, and if you...
You're spoiling it for me.
Sorry.
This is a fight. This is something I'm going to actually do, hopefully.
Explain how using the tech that they give you in the game is somehow...
Right.
And that's right. That's basically what happened. Is like, they didn't even know what was caught. They knew something like was easier than it should have been, but they didn't even know why. Because apparently they just always have rogues use Serenite bombs and boss encounters. Blizzard, like, did a hot fix to disable the Serenite bombs and was freaking out, as you might expect.
It is a kind of dirty pool. I think if you discover the hidden blade technique and use it against your opponents, then it's legit.
There is no rage like nerd rage.
Yeah, indeed. No. Indeed. If those guys put some nerds on a plane to go over to Europe and fuck up those other guys, the story will be complete.
Complete with
photos of hand-slapping fights.
Interesting World of Warcraft... Quick thing, someone who I will not name their name because they would probably get in trouble, somehow has all of the source code for WoW and actually is running his own WoW server.
Ooh.
And if he gives you the information, you can log into it and he can do anything he wants while you're playing. Like he has Anixia sitting in front of the gates to Ironforge, just, hey, how you doing? He can make your head big like NBA Jam. He can make you tiny.
That's what they need. They need the head big code.
Where he got this, I don't have any idea. But he's running a WoW server for his friends, essentially.
That's
Blizzard
terrible.
Assassins,
that's
find that guy. Sam Fisher will be on his ass.
That's shameful. So shame on him. You shouldn't do that.
He can make every kill. You get a level. So you can be level, 60 in 5 minutes.
Yeah, so we can do that and then somehow transfer servers.
Yeah. Server transfer, $25.
Right. I hope I get to kill Arthas soon. I hope my guild's slightly imploding. I think we might be able to hold on long enough.
I'm so tempted to just go watch that cinematic because I'm never going to get there.
Oh, you're not, no. I can tell you right now, you're not. You thought you were going to play again and you lasted about 2 days.
Well, Star Trek Online came out.
Yeah, whatever. I played both. I mean...
Bah.
Anyways, all right then.
What do you got?
I got another one. Does anyone else want to take this, or is AJ going to keep role playing?
I haven't prepped any questions.
You don't have to. You don't have to prep questions. You can role play if you want to, though.
If you can throw one out that I can do, I don't know.
Does anybody want to be Sega besides AJ?
Oh God, no.
I know nothing about Sega. He is the
most
qualified.
All right, I'll take it.
All right,
I can be Hideo.
AJ, you are Sega.
Oh man,
you just unveiled Sonic 4. Why should we give you another chance?
All right, you know what? Listen, we know we might have fucked up a little bit in the past.
You know, baby.
But we are making every effort to assure you that this is a classic Sonic game. I don't know if you listen to that music sample we put out. It is 16-bit music.
You're definitely trying hard to tug at our heartstrings. But
when that trailer plays, those fuckers come in and go, Sega! I mean, that is the original recording made in 1989, you might be interested to know. Sonic's the only character. There's none of his friends in there. We're willing to risk losing the furry fan base to gain back the Sega loyals. We think that's a fair trade. It's going to be 2D. Everyone loves 2D, and it's four: Mega Man 9, Street Fighter 4, Contra 4. You guys like that, right? So, we kept the homing attack in there, and it's that like edgy Sonic that we redesigned in 1999. But, I think everyone's going to like it.
What's with the episodic thing?
Clearly, it's the best way to get the game out quickly to the fans while also maximizing our revenue stream.
Okay, I guess so.
She's honest.
Yeah, it's true. All right, what's next?
All right, Mike, you're going to like this one. You are Patrick Stewart.
I am Sir Patrick Stewart. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, sir. You were recently interviewed by PBS where you talked about how you're a great technophile, but you don't use Twitter or play games despite having a huge stack of them. What's stopping you, your highness?
Look, I am Sir Patrick Stewart. I'm a busy man. I'm not saying that anything's wrong with games. I'm just saying that if I start, that's a big time sink for me. I'm busy being Patrick Stewart. I already said I have nothing against technology. I have my iPhone with me everywhere. I can't live without it. But No. Gaming, it's cool. I don't have any problems with it. I don't have the time for it. Can't do it.
Why do you buy a stack of games then?
Oh, I never said I bought them. I said I have a stack of games. They probably get sent to me. I'm sure every time somebody makes some sort of sci-fi game, they want to send it over to old Sir Patrick Stewart. I've done voice work for games. I did voices for the voices for Oblivion. I have voices in the upcoming Castlevania Lords of Shadows. I get sent games. I'm involved, but I'm not going to play them or anything like that.
So what I like is you knew exactly what video I'm talking about, because I knew you watched that the moment it was posted on the internet.
Of course I did. I've got it.
All right, you got one more, because I'm out.
Who wants to be the ESRB?
I'll be the ESRB.
All right, Paige. You are the ESRB.
Gimme.
Earlier
we
in
are.
The week...
We rate games.
Earlier in the week, you said that Dead or Alive Paradise included creepy voyeurism, among other things, in your official description for the game. Is there really any room for subjectivity in the ESRB ratings?
All right. Now, I know what you're thinking, but it's only because... So you don't do my job. If you'd seen the shit that I'd seen over the years... Listen, we got this one guy in the basement. All his entire job was just... cooking mama for 3 straight weeks. It drove him fucking insane. So some guy comes along, and we have this can. We have this pool, right? Everybody throws their name tags in, and some
I like
people
this look,
get...
this rare look into the ESRB process.
Oh, yeah. No, this is totally how it works, right? We've had to replace the guy who would pull Dante's Inferno 3 times already. But so somebody comes in, and they said, we got these 2 games. One of them is a hentai recently released fan-made game that stars disabled people, and one of them is a pervy beach volleyball simulator where realistic, quasi-realistic breast physics is involved with helping otaku buy outfits and dress up their little plastic dolls. And, I think Frank had been having some troubles for a couple of weeks. We put him on the job. He had said something about his wife, but we thought he was up to the task, and he came out of that room wild-eyed and reeking of bourbon, raving, and he threw down the copy, and he said, I can't do it anymore. I'll give you X-Blades, I'll give you gratuitous ass shots in Tomb Raider, but I draw the, there needs to be a point where the line is drawn, and the line is drawn at whatever it was that Frank said, dental
the line must be drawn
bikinis.
Here!
Exactly.
This far, no further!
Exactly. objectively, Let's take it to the grandma test. Let's take it to the parents test. You know, we'll give it to – we'll find a random sampling of 16, 17-year-olds, and we'll just hand them out copies of Dead or Alive, and we'll have them play it in the family room. And then we'll do some focus group tests, and we'll see what comes back from the audience, whether they think that little Kevin is engaged in character-building activities or whether they think he's, ugly pervy pervy voyeurism.
Right.
I think we have a strong case.
Fair
it's
enough.
True. It's fair true. Enough. I mean,
I don't think anyone's going to argue with you.
You could get Pete in here to explain the pros, but I saw that announcement and I was just like, yeah,
that's about right.
Yeah.
May I take a stab at being the other ESRB guy?
Yeah, sure.
By all means.
Sure.
Look, for years you've been telling us that our reviews are bunk, that we get everything wrong, that nothing that we put on the back is descriptive enough. We finally nail one dead on, and you're giving us shit for it. Fuck all y'all.
Fuck you, yeah.
It's true. All right. That was role-playing.
Remember when we said that Manhunt was a piece of shit, and all you gamers got up in arms for like 3 months over it?
I don't think that game was the disabled girls. I don't think that falls under the ESRB's jurisdiction.
No, I know. I realized halfway through my analogy that the ESRB doesn't rate fan-made games, but...
off of 4chan.
But when the guy walks into the store that's buying this game, and he sees creepy voyeurism on the back of the box, he's like, yeah, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, I like to see the bullet point, yeah. It's they just wrapped up a whole bunch of other categories under a single one, you know?
It should just be a new rating, C for creepy.
Yeah,
we can give it the Dead or Alive and I don't know what else. I think it might just be for Dead or Alive games. They get their own special rating.
No, there is probably an entire culture that's capable. Most JRPGs.
Yeah, I can think of one in particular I won't go into right now. Anyways, alright, that's good. Let's do our weekend gaming.
Show enough.
Show, full show. What did I just say? Hey, I got my real version of Star Trek Online in.
Me too.
The collector's edition is damn sexy, by the way.
It is. There's an actual Starfleet badge in there, but like before you open it, it looks like it's a hologram inside.
It does.
It's very cool.
It fooled me.
Was it worth the price?
Did it
complete you?
It made me happy. You can't put a price tag on Smiles Beige.
But if you could, it'd be $90.
If you could, it'd be about $99.95. Yeah.
Right.
You paid for it.
I got some free guest passes.
What was fun is I gave one to one of my coworkers at school today, and we actually had like a half day due to weather, and there's no one even there during the first half of the day, so we just said, fuck it. We pulled out our laptops and just started playing Star Trek Online at work. And it was friggin' sweet as hell. Then, of course, there's my one buddy who's also a fan of Star Trek, but his PC really sucks, so, like, he can't even play it. He just literally kept jumping back and forth between our desks just to see what we were doing. And we, like, started role-playing. Like, he became my number one, and we were, like, shouting shit at the monitor.
Oh, jeez.
It was awesome. But, yes, yeah, I got my board bridge officer, and it's pretty badass. I'm very excited by it.
Can you go down to the planet and fight those garbage bag monsters from the original Star Trek?
I haven't seen them yet.
Oh, the Gorn are all over the place.
Shelly
the Gorn are big players. If you're talking about the things that Kirk fought, I don't know which one you're talking about.
There was a monster that was just a bunch of garbage bags with some dudes in them.
I don't know about those things specifically. The universe itself seems... There are references to like stuff like original series and even Enterprise. It's mostly, it's closer to the next gen Deep Space Nine era, which I like personally.
As it should be, yeah.
Right. That's always been my favorite stuff. Besides that, though, I mean, it's well known that we're fans of Star Trek Online on this show. Mm-hmm. I've been playing Mass Effect 1.
How's that going?
You know, it's going. I'm getting there. I think.
How far are you?
I'm about. Ah, oh, jeez. I fought Saren once.
Spoilers?
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, honestly. How close am
I, AJ? You're pretty close. Keep
that's
going.
What I figured.
You can beat it tonight.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I figured I was close enough. You know. I made the arbitrary choose to let one person die decision. It wasn't very hard.
So, Caden, dead.
Me. What?
Caden, dead.
No. Freaking Ashley, dead. I got mad because there was, like, one point where, like, you know, the blue girl and Ashley, they, like, confronted me. Like, we have to talk. I'm like, about what? They're like, you have to choose one of us. I was like, what are you even talking about?
Well,
I barely even talked to the Ashley girl. I'm like, that's not even appropriate. You're, like, under my command. She's like, you must choose.
That's unfortunate, then, because you're going to miss out on something hysterical in Mass Effect 2.
Oh, that's too bad.
No spoilers, please.
Yeah, no spoilers.
No.
I don't want any Mass Effect 2 spoilers. You can,
no spoilers.
You can dance around the issue, but I'm, well, we'll get to it. I'm sure Mass Effect 2 will come up in the context of this week's
yes.
play sessions.
Well, here, I could go into it right now if you want, since I think all three of us here are also playing it.
Am I the
you
only one who finished it?
Yes, so shh.
Okay.
But, you know, how awesome is it?
It's awesome.
Yeah. Rock put a spoiler up on Twitter, kind of.
He better not have.
I wrote
kind of did, so dodge his Twitter account.
I wrote an entire article on Bitmob with no spoilers, so I will not spoil
I know,
it for
I
anybody.
Front page. I'm very proud of you.
Hey, Baze, why aren't you writing 6, more on Bitmob?
I might.
You should. It makes me happy to see Fiend and Pete on there.
It makes
on
me
the
happy
page.
To see you guys getting 6,000 hits on the front page, but...
Do you know what that article actually ended up getting? 12,000 hits.
Really?
No, I read that article. It was a good article.
It was
brief, you know. It was to the point. It didn't belabor it. So, Fiend, your comments on that article. Why are people saying, like, I'm not saying it's not worthy of discussion, but 12,000 hits.
Maybe, I have no idea.
For context, we should talk about what was this article about, Fiend? For context to our listeners.
It was the fact that once I finished Mass Effect 2, I was completely at peace with the decisions I had made and had no desire to go back and replay it because I didn't want, when Mass Effect 3 inevitably comes out, for me to have to sort of reconcile what my real choices were versus what I did just goofing around.
See, I think that's what – I just kind of like that because that's – in this age where everyone talks about replayability and the fact like, oh, Dragon Age Origins, there's 12 different origin stories. You have to play it 12 different times. I agree with you in that. With these kind of games, once I play them, I'm done. If you listen before, I've been on a crusade against DLC, even for games that I like, because I just don't like artificially extending the story past what I perceive to be the ending.
Agreed.
I had a weird moment in like, I imported my Mass Effect 1 character, as probably most of us did, and near the beginning of Mass Effect 2, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that there's a bit of a thing BioWare does where they refine some of the choices that aren't clear from your save data, I guess. They ask you some questions about what you felt about certain characters and what you did. And there came a choice where I had to choose between whether Anderson or the politician guy did something. And I hated, I forget what his name is. The politician
Udina?
Guy. Yeah, Udina. I hated him, but in my mind, I was trying to extrapolate, okay, if I make this choice, is BioWare going to, like, satisfy me with me coming into conflict with this guy in the future? Or should I pick the guy that I actually like because when I run into him, then, you know, like, they didn't – I felt that they didn't run off of my save data enough where they still left some choices up to me, and it kind of paralyzed me when I got to that point. I was like, well, do I choose this guy or this guy? Shit. But if I, you know, if the story plays out like this 20 hours from now, then I want to choose this guy. But I don't know.
It seems like a lot of the choices.
I was frozen at that screen for a little while.
A lot of the choices that you that carry over between the games, they're not, I think, as big in the grand scheme of things as you'd think. They're just kind of neat reminders that, yeah, your character is persistent, but they're, on the whole, they don't seem to be that big a deal.
From 1 to 2, I agree with you. I got the impression, now that I'm done with 2, that the choices you're making in 2 are going to have a bigger impact on 3.
Okay, that's fair enough. I do like little shit like – there was like one very early side quest, Mass Effect 1, where that guy wanted you to get his wife's body for him. You guys remember that one?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so, like, in Mass Effect 2, I got, like, an email from him thanking me.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was cool.
And you run into people on the street, and they'd be like, remember me? A lot of it is little things. But in the last quarter, there seemed to be a lot of branching points where I have a feeling that's the stuff that's going to matter in the next game. At least I hope so.
See, here's my problem. I'm going to want to play replay Mass Effect 2, but I'm not going to be able to do that without also replaying Mass Effect 1, I feel like.
I think I'm in Jeff's camp in that I have no desire. I had no desire when I finished Mass Effect 1 to replay it, even though I got an ending that I was kind of surprised and angry about. And I think that it's like watching a movie. Like, it's quite linear, as has been established. It's not like Dragon Age, where the experience that you have is more, I don't want to say dissipated, but like in Dragon Age, you could do a lot more things in different orders. It didn't seem as heavily directed. You know, Mass Effect 2 is pretty directed. You show up at this station, you have these conversations with this guy, you know, Shepard, you're not even speaking with your own voice. You're sort of watching Shepard, which is cool, but,
it's also not very long.
That's
fine. It really isn't. You can blast through Mass Effect 1 and, you know, 15, 20 hours if you really try.
Right. I sunk about 40 into it the first time, but that's because I did all of the stupid...
Yeah, and I talked to everybody at every dialogue option. Yeah, and that stuff too.
I finished Mass Effect 2 at 38 hours, and that was... I did everything I could find to do. I did realize eventually, though, you don't have to completely scan every effing planet.
Yeah.
You don't need that many minerals.
I've never even done any of, like, the mineral scavenging.
It's completely different in this one, but...
It's almost like Star Control.
The thing, though, is that it's almost like they had to have one shitty part of each game. It was the Mako in the first one, and now they're like, okay, nobody likes the Mako? Good, we'll get rid of it. Or the Big Track, as I like to call it. And then it was like in this game, they're like, well, we got to put something shitty in it. So, oh, let's give them the planet scanning. That'll be exciting.
I think they should have just done Star Control. Have you little arcade shooter where your thing goes down to the planet and you drive around picking up uranium and palladium.
Oh, you know,
maybe it may not have the gravitas of the slowly spinning planet, but
if you had had to do that, I don't know, three times in the game, four times in the game, it would have been okay. I think there's 100 planets to do that on if you're so inclined.
Crazy like that.
It's
do
nuts.
You have to? I mean, how many minerals do you need?
Okay. Basically, once you don't have things to upgrade anymore, there's no point to do it, because once you click on the planet, it's explored, and if there is going to be a side quest, she'll tell you there's an anomaly. If she doesn't tell you, you move on.
Okay. Right. I've just got the Mako the Normandy in my game, so I'm very, very early on.
One thing I gotta say is, like, my favorite technical improvement to this game is the fact that when you start and stop a dialogue, the characters can step into position and talk at the same time. Because you ever notice how in Mass Effect 1, everyone would, like, kind of stand up, turn, plant, and then start talking? But this one, they don't do that. They'll turn away from you and say, like, okay, Shepard, see you later. I'm like, oh, thank you, God, they got that right.
It's technically a very, very tight game.
It's very sound,
compared to how wonky the first one was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the tech in this game is rock solid. I mean, it looks really, really good.
And actually compared to how wonky Dragon Age was.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not seeing it. I came off of Dragon Age, which on my new monitor was beautiful, high res. You could see the eyelashes and pores on people's skin. And going back to the 360 seems like a bit of a downgrade.
Oh, you're playing this on the 360? Why didn't you get on the PC?
Well, because of all the little details that Jeff just talked about. I am already enjoying the tips of the hat that come from an imported save game.
That's right. You played the first game on
I did.
360. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have a good rig at that point.
That was literally why when I saw Mass Effect 1 was $5 during the Christmas Steam sale, I was like, fuck it, I'll just buy it and start over.
I asked the round in the squad, and this consensus seemed to be that the console version is pretty good. And, you know, so far it really is. I can't...
Yeah, oh, I don't deny it. I just... I'm very happy to be kind of back in PC gaming again. It's fun.
Yeah. Now, are you guys playing your characters any differently? Because I'm definitely trying to play Shepard differently.
I play it a little different. She's got, like, a little bit more of a chip on her shoulder for reasons explained in the prologue of the game that I don't want to talk about here.
Yeah.
I do. I play mostly Scylla Paragon, but with a little bit more of a rough edge to her.
I played my last character really hard. Hard edge. Like, I was shooting people, punching them out. I was not, you know, full renegade, but definitely on the renegade side of things. And now, in Mass Effect 2, I'm trying to play the character as a bit more enlightened, I guess. You know, the experiences that you have right at the beginning of the game change you a little bit. And I'm kind of being frustrated with the ability of, like, I can't play a character with regrets. which is what
No RPG with a morality system that I've seen yet has done a good job at all of having a neutral path. The neutral path is always just making arbitrary good and bad choices that don't mesh. Yeah, that's what I hear.
I would say neutrality is the true path, but it's also the hardest to play, which makes it interesting to me.
Well, you know I think they dropped the ball a little bit, though, is making the Paragon and Renegade choices something you earn, because there are a few points in the game where if you don't have enough points in either level, in either side, you won't get a Paragon or Renegade choice, and you'll have to take the middle-of-the-road choice.
Yeah, see, sometimes I want to play, like, with my characters who are from Mass Effect 1. I want to play strongly Paragon. You know, I'm tight with those guys. I'm not going to betray them. I'm not going to turn them over to Cerberus or whatever. I'm going to stick with them. But for guys who are assholes, I'm going to keep with the gun in the face, you know, intimidating.
Right, right.
And I want to be able to have that choice, the sort of, you know, I'm not playing a one-note character.
You can. For the most part, you can in this game, except for there's a few... this is not a spoiler to say every person in your party and on your crew is going to ask you to do something for them. And if you do something for them, they'll be loyal, which gets them additional powers, and in turn gets you additional powers. From what I can tell, you can go full Renegade and tell them no or tell them that they're an asshole, but you have to do the quest, and they'll still be loyal. If you tell them, I'm not going to do the quest, well, no, then you get nothing for it.
See, that's always been a problem with these things, that you're far too often or not, no matter what you want to do, you can say you want to be a bad character or whatever, but you're usually punished for it.
I appreciate the Mass Effect stance of your character doing necessary or good things in a badass way.
Yeah.
Right.
Nobody ever plays chaotic evil. Like, you shouldn't, unless you're playing Dungeon Keeper.
I have to steal this from my buddy Sean. He says in games you never play anything except for the bad guy option is you're chaotic stupid.
Yeah.
That's a
very good way of putting it. Yeah.
That's what you do. You run around and do things that make no sense. And no game gets it right. I think actually, though, Mass Effect probably gets it the closest.
I had a big blog post in me at one point in time about morality in games and how they should implement it. Maybe I'll post that on Bitmob.
Do it.
But, yeah, it's, I mean, I'd like to see a game where good and evil were implemented really differently. I'm talking like StarCraft style, where it's not even vaguely symmetrical.
I think the problem is it's two separate games.
Game after a while.
Yeah, they have to make two separate games to do that.
Yeah. So far, I'm pretty impressed. I was a little surprised at the shooting in Mass Effect so far. With all the praise that I've heard about it, I was expecting it to be tight, you know, like, I don't know, not
like
maybe
Gears of
Call
War.
Of Duty tight, but Uncharted tight. Yeah, Gears of War tight. And it's still a little bit,
not,
I don't want to say kludgy, but like, you know, it doesn't have that fluid feel.
No, I actually have to, maybe it's the difference in the PC version, but I was actually impressed with how good of a shooter it is.
Mouse control probably makes a big
difference. Maybe, yeah, because I've been saying for a while now, I'm amazed that what I thought was going to be this great RPG is one of the best shooters I've ever played.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not an RPG. It's a character-driven, narrative-driven action game, I would say.
But why? Here's my question to people who said, why isn't it an RPG?
Okay, well, like I'm sure Jeff wrote a post about this, but the role-playing, yes. If by role-playing game you mean game in which you play a role,
well, then every game's a role-playing game.
It certainly is. No, the kind of game where you make choices and those choices affect stuff, and it makes you feel like your actions, your choices drive events. But in, you know, the gaming world, RPG tends to mean stats and dicking, as Fiend said, dicking around with your inventory,
right,
which Mass Effect is not. So, you know, it's a bit of a minute linguistic twist, but
thought it hit a lot of notes for me, though, because it was exactly what you're saying. You get to play a role in a cool action game rather than playing bald space marine. Actually, my guy is a bald space marine. But whatever. You do get to play something other than a guy who says, "Eat, shit, and die." You know?
Yeah.
And I've been waiting for that for a while. Like, you're watching Alan Wake and stuff like that, and part of me is frustrated that Alan Wake involves guns as much as it does, because I was hoping for a bit more Twin Peaks kind of thing. But, like, that sort of blending of people, I guess, injecting more character and more choice and more attention to things like story into less traditionally story-based genres is a great thing. You know, Uncharted is a great thing. They didn't have. They might not have had to put great writing in there to make it a good game, but they did. And ditto with Mass Effect. You know, I'd love to see this trend continue. I just don't know what. If you're a marketing person, what genre do you put in the back of that box?
But I don't. Do companies care as much about genres as much as we do? With as much genre bending as we've been seeing the last few years?
Oh, I don't really care. Like, it's not important to me that Mass Effect falls into a genre. I just think it's interesting. Like, people have always said, what would a first-person shooter that had a decent story be like? It'd be like Mass Effect. Because you can't have a decent story without decent characters. And that sense of agency that you get driving Shepard around really adds to it. So,
I think what EA decided to do, that was kind of a mind-bender for a moment, too, is I was like, this is an EA game. That's weird. Is they marketed it as a sci-fi game.
Which it is.
And then once you get it...
They actually use genre more like how a movie would.
Exactly.
Not how games would, which I love.
And I think maybe we'll see that direction. And then it's just whether you like playing that game or not, doing the things you do in that game. For me, I thought that they did a lot of streamlining that worked. I would play 10 more games just like it if they'd continue to put them out.
Hopefully it'll take
Mass
off.
Effect.
You know?
Yeah.
I guess.
Did anybody get White Knight Chronicles?
No.
No, and there's probably a story in there because, you know, for how many years now have we been seeing trailers?
Oh, that was
supposed
to be like the PS3 game.
Exactly. I remember
even looking at it now, like I remembered it looking a lot better.
I remember when Penny Arcade, like the first time we saw that White Knight Chronicles video, and Tycho on Penny Arcade posted, like, that's how you sell a fucking PS3. You don't put a crying baby in a white room and do some, you know, art school stuff on it. You just show a game like that and how good it could be. And at that point in time, I was like, my hand went up, and I'm like, okay, I'm buying this game, whatever it is, because I love the JRPG. Like, I have in the past, I guess, loved the JRPG genre. And then when the reviews come out, it seems like, you know, they had the pure heroine, and then they cut it with Bleach. You know, they had a good idea, and they cut it with MMOs. You know, the bullet point in the back of the box is like JRPG with MMO blended gameplay.
Well,
that is the last thing that I want in my JRPGs. Get
GTFO. Did you play Final Fantasy XII?
Yeah, I did, and I disliked it way more than previous Final Fantasies for that reason. Couldn't stand the grind.
No,
I don't mind. I didn't mind the walking around like your guys are attacking stuff automatically. That part's okay. You know, I'm open minded enough to like that. It's just that I'm coming off of a Last Remnant thing where I'm into the story briefly. I'm liking these characters, okay, and then they want you to grind for 20 hours just to be able to beat the next boss because you need to get enough, like, you know, widgets from this creature to be able to fuse them into another widget that you need to use to make a sword, and having this sword is the only way to kill the boss. Like, no, I'm 33. I don't want to do that in the evening.
My disappointment just stems from the fact that I'm disappointed that level 5 lied to us, basically. It's one thing when EA comes out with some bullshit Madden trailer, or even Square Enix, you know, they first show us the Final Fantasy 13 trailer, and, you know, we know it's ridiculous. We all believed that first White Knight trailer, I believe that's what the game was supposed to look like. I thought that was the game. I'm pretty pissed off that was just a lie, basically.
Because that game looked good.
It wasn't even so much, I didn't even know what the game was going to play like at that point. It was just the way it was doing things, the way that when characters started walking, it looked like a real walk.
They were having conversations with each other in the middle of fights and stuff.
I watched the video review on Game Trailers. You know, I'm not critiquing the game because I didn't play it, but just it doesn't. It's not the game I thought it was. I can tell. It's not good looking. It's ugly. It falls on all the generic JRPG trappings.
It seems really sad and inexplicable how a game that at one point in time was such a flagship product,
right,
kind of slinks in the back door between Bayonetta and Mass Effect. And hopes that nobody notices it. You know, that's the sense that I got out of White Knight.
Well, I found myself. I was scouring the internets this week, just trying to find any review where somebody would say something good to convince me that maybe I'd like this game, and I couldn't find it. And I've got a bunch of credit.
Metascore is about 65 now.
Yeah,
started out around 80 and went down over the week as reviews started to come in.
Moving on.
It basically sounds like a bad Final Fantasy 12.
Yeah.
That's what it seems to say. What's that? Yeah, I'm not happy. Although the first Bioshock 2 review came out on IGN, 9.1.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Sold.
No, it's good. This is like one of those review-proof games. It's going to get nines, and we all know it.
Sure. Well, I mean, I thought White Knight was going to do well at one point. Okay.
Right. Anything else anyone play they want to hit on real quick?
I played the Battle of Forli.
Oh, I have to play that yet. I haven't done it. Is it good?
Oh, the Assassin's Creed. Does this fall under unnecessary DLC?
It falls under whoever. If you've read The Stand, the original version, you know that later on they put a version out with 500 pages stuck back in that the editor originally removed. This is the 500 pages of Assassin's Creed 2. They were taken. It was taken out of the game for a reason.
That's what I heard.
It
was like $4, though, so I'm not too upset.
If it were any more than $4, I would say run screaming the other direction. But for $4, if you liked Assassin's Creed 2 and you want to run around the environment a little bit more, and sure, why not? But it's not great.
They had a good thing going on with Catherine Sforza. That's a good historical figure. They could have had a plot there. They dropped it.
I'd be interested to see if someone buys Assassin's Creed 2, you know, 3 months from now, and buys both pieces of DLC and plays the game, what their feelings would be, because I think it would drag the narrative down. I don't want to spoil. I think it's too early to even spoil that game, but where these two things fit is right after a major reveal and right before you sort of push towards the end of the game. And these two, Memories 12 and 13, definitely have you go down a path that just sort of like, oh, come on, I want this game to be over.
This is the point where you're going to the fire dungeon and the ice dungeon, and you're like, I just want to kill Ganon.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just like, you know what? Props to whoever it was who made the editorial decision to cut it in that case. Because, you know, whether it was excised for the purpose of being DLC or not, I'm glad that they did. If somebody could have done that on Last Remnant, I'd feel a lot better about it.
Yeah. I get the feeling that somebody wanted to charge $10 for this at one point, and then they eventually had to be like, no, it's just not. It's not $10. It's about an hour and a half.
Assassin's Creed 2 wasn't missing anything.
No.
At least not more content like that, though.
If you loved it, there's nothing I can say it's not going to make you go download it, and it is only $4, but it's not great.
Yeah, there's plenty of new games that came out, guys. Go play one of those. Assassin's Creed 2 and everything, but...
All right.
That's it.
Beige, you got one more you want to hit on?
You know what? I've been playing the same games as all of you. Finished late, Professor Layton, started Spirit Tracks. Been playing a lot of Machinarium, so if you guys in the squad haven't played that yet, I'd recommend it.
Is that official? I missed that announcement.
Yeah, it's on for 2 weeks from now, so... My wife and I are... Machinarium. It's the hand-drawn... robot point-and-click adventure from the guys who made Samurost. And it's excellent if you like that genre.
Yeah, I started it. I like it. Time.
Yeah, it's tough. The puzzles are... You know that it's hard with adventure games to have a level of difficulty where it's not quite banging your head against the desk, but it's not going through the motions either? You know, it's a bit of a challenge for... And they have a really, really elegant hint system. To a double-layered hint system with an easy hint and a hard hint on every screen that helps you along. And it's just really well implemented. I'm sure we'll talk about it on the podcast, but it's definitely worth your time. That's really the only thing. I mean, everything else, Mass Effect, Bayonetta, which I finished, and a couple of other things that have been talked a lot. I did play the downloadable demo for Thexter on PSN, but that's only interesting for people who were alive in 1985 when Thexter was that awesome game on your school's 286 computer that everybody crowded around during rainy days to try and beat. So, if you don't have nostalgia value for it, there's nothing there, but I found it amusing. That's about it.
All right, let's do releases.
Okay, so downloadables on Nintendo. WiiWare got Curse Monkey Island, Rise of the Pirate God, which is the final chapter. I still need to finish that, I just realized.
Shame on any of you who haven't played Tales of Monkey Island yet, by the way.
I know.
I am playing it. I started it on the Wii. It is un-fucking playable on the Wii.
Yeah, do PC. I didn't try the Wii, but...
I have it bought, but not played. So
shame on
that's
you.
Cool.
Let's see, we also have Tumblebugs 2 and 5-in-1 Solitaire.
Tumblebugs 2?
Yeah, for the fans of the first one.
There's a lot of unanswered questions at the end of Tumblebugs 1.
It's true.
DSiWare has True Swing Golf Express, Legends of Exidia, Downtown Texas Hold'em, Move Your Brain Rollway Puzzle, and 5-in-1 Solitaire.
Interesting.
And then Virtual Console got Alex Kidd and Shinobi World for the Master System.
What's the appeal of Alex Kidd?
He was like their big flagship mascot.
He was their anti-Mario, but Mario pretty much pile drove him into the ground. So right. Sonic until like, Sonic came along.
Shinobi sucks. World was supposed to be Shinobi Kid, and then like they just kind of shoehorned Alex Kid into it.
You're like, fuck, something's got to sell this game.
On Xbox Live Arcade, we have Chime, which Pete, I believe, just finished playing, according to Twitter, and he seemed to like it. DDR Universe 3 and Medal of Honor Airborne are your Xbox original releases. On the PlayStation Network, we have Fret Nice. This is a downloadable title for the PS3. And for the PSP, Afterburner Black Falcon and Armored Core Silent Lion.
Wait, Fret Nice, is that the one you play with the guitar controller?
No clue. I think it's a platformer from what I remember reading about
it. It is, but you play it with the Guitar Hero controller.
Oh, that's actually
if it's the one I'm thinking
right?
of, somebody in the squad needs to play that.
They need to release it on the Xbox, though, because I don't have any guitars for the PlayStation. And on good old games, Vampire the Masquerade, which is the role-playing game, not the first-person shooter role-playing game in the Vampire series, and Darkfall 2 Lights Out, which is some kind of mist-looking sort of game.
Okay.
All right. Retail games, Stalker, Call of Pripyat? What?
Oh, it's...
Pripyat.
That's in Russia.
Consonants.
It's a place? Okay.
Somebody should play that. Where's Bowley?
My geography is a little off.
Wow, GameSpot gave it an 8. Maybe it's good.
Hey, White Stalker, Knight.
We got White Knight Chronicles, the International Edition for PS3, 6.0 on GameSpot. Sad. Some game called Star Trek Online. The Sims 3, high-end lost stuff.
What? Okay, so this isn't for your apartment or your home or your condo. It's for your high-end loft. Good lord.
Who even knows what to say? Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief on the DS, riveting. The Mystery 5 Collection for the PC.
So it's a bunch of Sherlock Holmes games. They're actually decent games.
Armored Core Silent Line Portable for the PSP. That's it. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks to all of our guests this week. Beige and Fiend, or whatever your real names are.
You're bad at this. Whatever.
That's fine. I'm proud of my squad handle. You can keep it up.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at squadronofshame.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. That's it. See you next week. Have fun. I'm picking Saints. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
All right. So that's that. That's a wrap.